times, I'm going to invite you to shut your eyes and just listen, if you're comfortable doing so. To try and get this into our hearts, short words with great impact. We're reading from Romans chapter 12, the first two verses. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and improve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you're comfortable doing so, do please shut your eyes as we listen again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. We are thinking about worship. Worship matters. You are here this morning, I hope, to worship. Thank you, somebody. You may be here for other reasons. You may be here because you're on a rota, and you have to be. You may be here to see your friends, because we love one another, hopefully. We are family together. You may be here because it's habit. That's what we do on a Sunday. But hopefully we are here to worship. Worship matters. It's our response to God, to all he has done. Creation, salvation, everything begins with God. And our response in worship is the most basic, best way of going, wow, thank you, God. We love you. And the implications of that for our lives is immense. Worship shapes us. Some of you said that a little earlier on. It makes a difference. And that's why we're thinking about worship at the beginning of this new year. Because we're shaped by the time we spent in God's company, that's the best way to start a new decade, thinking about worship together. I read this week. It's by a theologian called John. I can't pronounce his surname. In both intentional and unintentional ways, the church is engaged in non-stop soul shaping. This may happen through preaching, sacraments, music, and art, because church life is all about God and God's ways with us. Everything we do in church shapes how participants imagine God and God's ways with us. Or, to paraphrase that, we learn about God from what we sing, from what we hear, Lots of times we get our theology, we don't remember the Bible, but we remember the words of the songs we sing. Isn't that true? Somebody at Toddlers the other day said, "What does it mean? What does it mean when Jesus wants me for a sunbeam?" And I was like, I was completely thrown by that question. It's like, I don't actually know what that actually means. If you can explain how Jesus would want us as a sunbeam to me later on, I've never understood that. But that clearly had stuck in her head. To shine his light to the world. It was a question out of context, so it threw me at the time. We learn about God from what we do together. And we're thinking over these next 5 weeks about whole life worship, about our response to God, not being limited to the time we spend here together, once or twice a week on a Sunday or a Thursday or whenever we worship, but being something that affects our every moment. C.S. Lewis said that as well. He said, "Worship is our inner health made audible." I like that. Our inner health made audible. The singer-songwriter, Matt Redman, we sang one of his songs earlier on, says this: "Worship is all-consuming because God is all-deserving. So we live our lives eager to breathe every breath, think every thought, and do every deed for the glory of God." Wow. Gosh, he's holy, isn't he? I read that, I thought, that's great, Matt. My life don't look like that. Perhaps I shouldn't have said that aloud. But that's our Bible reading also in a nutshell, about our whole life being brought to God in worship. Paul is writing to a church in Rome, and it's a church that had a mixture of Jewish believers and also Gentile converts. So a group that have come together with a whole load of different understandings, with cultural interpretations of what worship is. The Jews would have been brought up with a whole idea and a whole system of sacrifice that we know about all in the Old Testament, that in order to be heard and forgiven by God, you have to bring a sacrifice first, because God cannot look on sin. So a sacrifice of an animal, there needs to be a blood offering. And so they understand worship in that way. And Gentiles, too, would come to the melting pot of the church because through Rome, which had a whole mixture of pagan religions, and they'd hear the word sacrifice, and they'd be thinking about the sacrifices they had to make in pagan worship, in temple worship. But then Paul starts talking about something they are not expecting. In the book of Romans, it's full of meaty theology. So the first 11 chapters, remember this is chapter 12, Paul is exploring all that God has done for the world. It is all that you have to believe. It's meaty theology. It's what God has done to save the world through Jesus Christ. It's about the cross and the gospel, and the response is to worship. That's not unexpected listening to the church at Rome. It's not unexpected listening to us. This is a group of people who think they know what worship looks like, but Paul surprises them. He's talking to the believers, saying that the way to respond to God's kindness is to bring an offering, a sacrifice, but not of a pigeon or a turtle dove or a lamb or an animal for the altar. He says, no, bring a sacrifice of a living sacrifice, your bodies as a living sacrifice. And that would have shocked them. That would have surprised them. What are you talking about, Paul? Bring a sacrifice of our living bodies. That doesn't make sense, Paul. Our bodies are amazing. I'm looking at you all. You're amazing. There's a whole variety of lovely bodies here this morning. I spent a long time trying to choose the right picture. Just as a matter of public information, do not put into Google Images beautiful bodies. It was not the wisest move. Really not good. I think somebody might have to wipe my computer memory now. Bodies are amazing. They can do extraordinary things. Breathing is frankly a miracle of God. The fact that we could run marathons, miracle. Carry and deliver babies. Wow. Remember decades of information. Understand algebra. Hear and recognize different voices. It's all amazing. You get the drift. But living bodies are not perfect. They get worn out and broken and tired and sometimes a little misshapen. Not all of us are able to run marathons, certainly not in these heels. Not all of us can remember what we did yesterday, never mind 20 years ago. Not all of us hear or see. But at the moment, all of us are able to breathe, so thank God. Bodies are amazing, and yes, they're ordinary. And Paul says we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. He's saying not just the flesh and blood, but everything we do. Everything our hands do, everything our voices do. Bring it all, our whole life, as a living sacrifice. So what's that say about worship? I've got three quick points. Worship is a response to God's mercy. As I've just said, Paul has spent 11 chapters reminding the church at Rome what God's mercy has done for us. 11 chapters. Read Romans. It's theological mastery. In detail, the foundations of the Christian faith that recognize what Christ has done through the cross. It's 11 chapters of what to believe to be thriving as a Christian. And so then he goes on to chapter 12. We've had what to believe, we're now going into how to behave with what you believe. And he moves on to chapter 12 with the word therefore. Therefore, I urge you. Whenever you see the word therefore, starting a scripture passage, you should always ask, what is that therefore? Therefore links the 11 chapters that have just come previously. Therefore, in the light of God's mercy and all that we have just heard, all we've heard about the love and the sacrifice and the lavishness of grace poured out for you in Jesus on the cross. Therefore, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Paul is saying that once you see that God is the source of everything, you will, of course, give thanks. Because that's the obvious thing to do. That marks the Christians out from the pagans. He had already said in Rome, in Romans 1:21, for although they knew, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. We as Christians are meant to be different. We give thanks to God for what he has done. Our worship is a response to God's mercy. It focuses our thankful hearts. And Paul says our worship involves our everyday, ordinary life, our sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. That is a quote from the Message version of our passage this morning, which is quite different, but quite beautiful. Let me read it for you. Place your life before God. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Worship does not begin and end when we step foot into this building. It's not an inward, private, spiritual activity, although often it's seen as that in our culture. Often we think that the really important stuff, the spiritual and holy stuff, happens here with the spiritual, holy people here. And then we go out there and it's all secular, not as important as what happens with the holy people here. Scripture does not say that. Scripture does not paint that divide between secular and spiritual. All is important to God. God is interested in everything. In this time tomorrow, in what Jen is doing with her child wrangling tomorrow, in what Lynn is doing later on today, what you're doing later on today. Who knows? She doesn't even know. God does. God is interested. Sorry for picking on you there. Sorry, Lynn. God is interested that our worship happens in church, at the gym, through our attitudes, in our workplaces, in our schools, when we fight for justice, when we pass on the faith, when we share him with our children and our grandchildren. Everything we do, if God empowers it, is worship. So I wonder what you're doing tomorrow or for the rest of the week. What might that look like for you to worship God with what you're doing this week? Interesting. We have 168 hours in a week, and only a few of them we spend in church. God's interested in the rest of it. Because our Sunday time is a tip of the iceberg in our whole life discipleship. And that matters to God. Oh, that was a question I just asked. Finally, our worship is a decision to be shaped by Jesus. A decision to be shaped by Jesus. There's our passage again. Paul links our worship with changing the way we think. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The mind is very powerful, isn't it? We all know that to be the case. From one silly example, if I have an open box of chocolates, I cannot stop thinking about it. Anyone else? Absolutely. Why is that? Why is it that I can't stop thinking about Ferrero Rocher? Once I have opened that box and it is in the cupboard. Because the mind, Val's going, poor love, Val. Because the mind is powerful. For you, it might not be Ferrero Rocher. Insert your own sin in that sentence. The mind has power over our actions. And we know that's the case for those of us who live with anxiety or depression. We know that to be true. Our life is often shaped by our thinking. So what are you filling your mind with? Interesting question. You will know what the answer is for yourself. What do you spend your time reading or looking at or watching or scrolling past? That looks like Tinder. I didn't mean that. I meant social media. That shapes how you think, what you put in front of you. Let your eyes see. What you ingest becomes part of your spiritual life as well. It could be delightful. You could be spending time reading my sermons or even scripture, more importantly. Or it could be something else which is not as edifying. What are you filling your mind with? Because that shapes you. And in Paul's context in Rome, Rome shaped the believers. Rome would encourage its citizens to do things a certain way. Obedience to its systems, to its temples, to its altars, to the gods you were asked to worship. And there were loads of gods. There was Janus and Jupiter and Satan and Mercury and Apollo and Luna and Juno and Diana and Bacchus and about 300 or so more. And each were a god of a certain thing, the god of the wind, the god of your love life, the god of entrances to doorways. Everything had a god, shed loads of them, responsible for a different area of your life. Paul is reminding the believers that in the light of God's mercy, because they are followers of Jesus Christ, means they won't necessarily conform to Rome's way of thinking because their perspective is shaped and changed through meeting and being saved by Jesus Christ. An ongoing process of being challenged, of being shaped, and that begins with our minds. You know the phrase, "You are what you eat." Oh, that's true. And the same for your mind. If you only eat Twixes, you will not have the physique of an Olympic athlete unless you are mightily blessed by God. What our minds ingest, we ingest spiritually. So it matters. Not just the decision you took when you first became a Christian, whenever that was, although that has eternal consequences, but also what your body and your mind is living here and now as a response to God's mercy. Paul talks about that in Romans 8. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. What are you ingesting in your mind? And in Philippians, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things, not the cruddy stuff, the good stuff. We are shaped by God, and that changes our perspective. We see the world differently. Our mindset changes. We discover more deeply what God's will is for our lives and for the ordinary places we find ourselves in. Worship is a response to God's mercy. It involves our everything, our everyday, ordinary life, sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. And it's a decision to be shaped by Jesus. Our time together on a Sunday is the tip of the iceberg that affects the rest of our week. our whole life, and so it matters. We'll be learning more about that in the weeks to come. Let's pray together. Father God, as we reflect on your mercy, we consider the forgiveness that you've granted us through Jesus, bought at a price. In view of God's mercy, we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is our true and proper worship. We pray for grace and strength to offer our all in the tasks we complete, in the relationships we value, in the activities we enjoy, in the possessions we own. Help us to glorify you in those things. In view of God's mercy, we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is our true and proper worship. We pray that you would renew our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to be wary of conforming to the patterns of our world. Make us watchful to see what's shaping our view of the world. In view of God's mercy, we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is our true and proper worship. Finally, we pray for help to know your will. Give us a discerning spirit to know whether at home, at work, or wherever we are, what your good, perfect, and pleasing will might be. In view of God's mercy, we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is our true and proper worship. We pray all these things in the name of Christ. Amen. We're going to sing.